Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 21. We'll be picking up our study in verse 25. So far in chapter 21, we've been looking at the Great Tribulation period. This is a time that's 7 years in span. And it's before us. It's going to be a terrible time. It's going to be a time that Jesus said it's never been like that before, nor will it ever be again. It's going to be a time when God's going to deal with the Jewish people, and he's also going to be dealing with the Gentiles. And the reason why he's pouring out the judgment is because time is at hand. And he wants as many people to go to heaven as he can get to go to heaven. But as we're going to see, even with all these judgments being poured out, people are still going to refuse to repent and give God glory. Man, I see that with people today. I see that happening today. We've covered the first half of the tribulation period 2 weeks ago. Last Sunday, we covered the middle of the tribulation period. So this morning, we're going to look at the last half of this terrible time. Now, I want you to keep in mind, as we're studying these things, I don't want you to freak out on me. I want you to understand, the rapture of the church took place before the first half of the tribulation began. So at this point in time, the church has been at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The rewards for the believers, the Christians, have already been handed out, or they're getting ready to be handed out before Jesus leaves to come back to this earth and we come with him. It's going to result in the conclusion of this terrible time period, this 7-year time period that has been prophesied for so many years. No doubt the church has talked about it for the last 2,000 years. And here we are, the generation at the end of the church dispensation. We're that generation. We just don't know how long of a time period the generation is. But we know Jesus could come at any moment. It's something we have to drill into our heads, church. We have to keep this in mind. You know what? For one thing, if you keep it in mind, you won't be as stressed out as you get. Because you know this is going to pass. It's going to be over soon. In our Lord's message, he told the disciples that the temple would be destroyed. And as we've been studying, he's laying out what signs would point to the end of the age. He's giving them a heads up. He's telling them what's up. Just like God is using me to share this with you this morning. I'm giving you guys a heads up of the time we are now living in. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I believe most of us, if not all of us, are going to be alive when that trumpet blows and Jesus comes for his church. Man, I believe we're that close. He's telling them that he's coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. We know it also ends with that great battle called what? The Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be at the end. Look at verse 25. Now remember, verse 25 to 28, this is in the last half of that 7 years. This is from 3.5 years in to the end of the 7 years, the last half of the tribulation period. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. That means there's going to be complexity of nations. There's not going to be a way out. There's not going to be a way out. Nobody's going to be able to figure these things out. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them. You know what that is? That's heart attacks, man. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming. Here it is, his second coming. In a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look what Jesus admonishes us to do, church. Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. your redemption is drawing near. I mean, you'd have to admit it. This is pretty amazing. This is amazing stuff. I mean, Jesus is describing this terrible time of judgment and the signs God is going to send on this earth as he concludes this awesome time. If you want more detail of it, read Revelation chapters 15 to 19. It covers the last half of the tribulation period. Again, this time frame is where God is dealing with his people, the Jews. But you got to remember, he's also going to be dealing with the Gentiles. You see, there's only two kinds of people according to the scriptures on earth. You're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. You're one or the other. And God's going to deal with Jews and Gentiles, the entire world. The prophet Jeremiah specifically refers to this time in Jeremiah 30, verse 7. You guys ought to know this by now. Alas, for that great day is great, so that none is like it. There will never, ever be a time like that 7-year tribulation. Ever. There never has been before. There never will be in all eternity before us again. Ever. So that none is like it, and is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God's going to save the Jewish people, man. They're going to realize Jesus is their Messiah. That they blew it 2,000 years ago. When them and the Gentiles, the Romans, when they had Jesus crucified. You see, the declaration here is when these things take place, it will be the evidence people are going to need to know that Jesus' coming is at the door, man. It's at the door. In fact, when the Antichrist signs the 7-year peace treaty with the Jews and the Arabs, the Arab nations, you could pretty much count down to the day of Jesus' return at his second coming at the end of the 7 years. You could pretty much count it down and know right when he's coming. So people are going to be digging for their Bibles. They're going to be studying Revelation. They're going to be looking at Daniel, Zechariah, the minor, the major prophets, Isaiah. They're going to be looking to see where exactly they are in the Gospels as they're trying to make it through that 7-year terrible time, man. It's going to be a terrible time. Jesus spoke about the waves roaring. What's he talking about, the waves roaring? Is he talking about when California has the biggie and the high desert ends up beachfront property? Because half California, what's he talking about? Yeah, that day could come. I believe it's going to be in Revelation, the tribulation, when it says that every mountain's going to be leveled, that there's going to be a giant earthquake. It's a description of the nations. Rising and falling like waves in a storm. I mean, you can see that throughout Scripture. I'm going to give you a couple of Scriptures. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 6, if you're taking notes this morning. It says, God is our refuge and strength. Wait a minute. Let me read that again in case that just went in one ear and out the other. God is our refuge and strength. Did you guys get that? It's not in B of A. It's not in Chase Bank. It's not in the wallet or your credit card. God, he's our refuge. He's the one. He's the strong tower we run to when we're going through what we're... Everybody's going through something. Everybody's got head trips going on. The people you're dealing with, finances, relationships, whatever it might be. Church, we're all dealing with it, man. We're in the same bus, okay? And we're praying, Jesus, hurry up, man. Take us out of here. We're done with this stuff. Take us out, Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. John wrote in Revelation 17, 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw, John, which the harlot sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. You know, in studying these things, I can tell you this much. Thank God we're not going to be here, man. Thank God we're not going to be here. They aren't many who are going to survive this incredible, terrible time. We read in Revelation at one point, one-third of the population is destroyed, and later down, another one-quarter of what's left is destroyed. During God's judgments that he's going to pour out in Revelation, it's not going to be a party time. It's not going to be a time to do whatever you want to do, and that's where we see our country and the world going to. Anything goes. Do whatever you want to do. It's legal now. What does God's word say about these things that we're passing? You know what? We are opening ourselves up for judgment from Almighty God, man, because of these things that are being allowed in our country. We might have a short time left of maybe revival and things like that, but church, we're getting close, man. The church is getting very close. And we have to beware what we're doing. Where are we putting all of our attention? Where's all of our attention going to? Is it more towards the things of the earth, or is it more towards the things of God? Where's our attention? Especially when we see where we're going, what's happening. We need to open our eyes, man. I mean, it's like you've heard the saying, either get right or get left. Either get right with God or get left behind. It's one or the other. There's no middle road no more. There's no gray area here. All the people on this planet are going to shake with fear. But man, here's the sad commentary on all this judgment. God is going to be pouring out, not just on the last half of the tribulation, mind you, but also from the very beginning. He's trying to get mankind to repent of their sins. And the tragedy is they're not going to repent. Where do you see that in Scripture? Man, I'm glad you guys are on it this morning. Revelation 9, verse 20 and 21. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, listen to this, church, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries, drugs, or their sexual immorality or their thefts. How about Revelation 16, verses 9 to 11? And men were scorched with great heat. Does that sound like a party down dude to you? Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent, and they did not give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, the Antichrist, the beast. And his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Can you imagine that kind of pain? They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, right at the end, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Again, this is at the end of the Great Tribulation period. You know what? We've just barely touched on these things the last three Sundays, on the whole 7 years. We've barely touched. I don't know if even Hollywood could come up with the words of how terrible this is going to be. It's going to be a bad time. The very next verse, Matthew 24, verse 30, Jesus said, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." No one knows what this sign is. They don't know what it's speaking about. But it's going to bring about fear among the nations and the people. I mean, they're going to head for the mountains. They're going to cry to the mountains, "Fall on us, hide us from him who's coming." Yeah, well, that ain't going to work. They're still going to stand before the white throne judgment, Revelation 20. The key is Jesus is going to appear and every eye will see him. Let that sink in a moment. Think about that a moment. Every eye will see him. Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." Every eye will see him. This could not have taken place until we got internet and satellite. Think about that. Anywhere around the world, people will be able to go on and they'll see him coming. It's amazing, man, the time. Everything that's culminating in the time that we are now living in. You see, at the rapture, Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. Come on, we got ex-thieves in here. Thank you, God, we're saved. Amen. We know what we do. We didn't do it in broad daylight unless we were loaded to the gills. Rip a car off at 2 in the afternoon, broad daylight, sun and everything. You got to be really stupid to do stuff like that. He's coming as a thief in the night. Hold your finger here. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember, this church in Thessalonica, man, the Apostle Paul just poured prophecy into it. He got into it. If I was around in that time, I would have hitchhiked all the way to Thessalonica. I would have walked. Nobody'd pick me up on their donkey, probably, no doubt. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 1. Look what Paul wrote to the church. And again, remember, they were grieving because their loved ones who were Christians were dying and they were feeling that Jesus had already come and they'd never see him again. Paul said, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." The day of the Lord, the rapture. "For when they say peace and safety," think about that, peace and safety. Isn't that what we're trying to have with Israel and the Arabs now? A peace treaty that we've presented to the Palestinians? Could this be part of it? "When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren," he's talking to us, believers, "but you, brethren, are not in darkness." What do you mean, Rick? What are you talking about, we're not in darkness? Well, hold on. "So that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day." Can I add, and daughters? Of the light and daughters of the day. The reference is there. I'm not adding to God's word. "We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Don't sleep like others do. What are others doing? They're living their life like they're going to be here for the next 100 years. They're believers. He's saying, don't sleep like the rest of them. He said, "Be watching and be sober, that sober means to have an alert mind, an alert attitude. I mean, it means you're not out there doing dope and getting all loaded up. Now, of course, you know, there is a line drawn there when you have to take medication, you know, for pain and things like that. I'm talking about going out and getting stuff that you know in your heart you shouldn't be doing. Amen? Amen. We know we shouldn't be doing. He goes on, he said, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, hello, are drunk at night. When do we get drunk, church? Unless you're a real bad alcoholic, you stay drunk 24 hours a day. We went and partied at night most of the time. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on, here it is, the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. He's not talking about a Harley Davidson helmet. I know you guys knew that. I just had to throw it in. Helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Do you know that is a direct reference to the 7-year great tribulation period? Do you guys know that? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we wake or we die, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. You see, Israel, the Jewish people, will finally recognize Jesus, their Messiah. And what's going to happen is they're going to repent. They will believe. And we have God's word that tells us that they will be saved. God said in Zechariah 12, verses 10 to 14, and I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Church, this is the tribulation period God's talking about. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Reman in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi, the Levitical tribe, by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. They're going to realize we crucified our Messiah. He came to us on Palm Sunday. And a few days later, we crucified him. And they're going to mourn. And they're going to cry. And they're going to weep. But there's joy. Remember the scripture says, weeping endures for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Church, the joy is before us, man. If you're weeping now, the joy is before us. You don't need to weep. Man, we got awesome and incredible eternity before us. Remember what Jesus said when he was being questioned in Mark 14, verses 60 to 62? And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, do you say nothing? You answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Well, Jesus, being God, could not be silent at that point. And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he became our high priest, the church's high priest. The church was founded at Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2. He became our high priest, and he's been sitting at the right hand of the Father ever since. 2,000 years, making intercession for the church this whole length of time. Father, he's one of mine. Father, she is one of mine. They're mine, God. I have forgiven them. I paid the price for their sins. It's a done deal. They're mine. And if they're not going to be used on the earth for me and they're going to do their own thing, then I'll just bring them home. I'll shorten their life and I'll bring them home. Instead of letting them die in their sin. Church, I'm telling you, there is no doubt in my mind. These incredible signs are going to bring terror to those who are lost. Those who aren't Christians, they're not saved. But on the other hand, it's also going to bring hope to those who have trusted the Lord during this great tribulation period. Now you're probably thinking, okay, Rick, how's it going to bring hope to them? Well, think about it. These believers will know the Lord's coming is very soon. They're going to see these signs. They're going to open up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're going to look at these signs in the tribulation period. And they're going to say, our Lord's coming is just around the corner, man. It's just around the corner. He's coming. Let's hold on. Let's pray. Let's hold on. Today, you and I as believers, we're looking for our Savior. We're not looking for signs. But as we see these signs and these things beginning to take place, come on, man. We know the Lord's return is near. His second coming, but more importantly for us, the church, the rapture, before that 7-year period begins. According to the scriptures, Christ's appearing will be sudden. Notice it's going to be glorious. And it will be with great power. You know what the Holy Spirit did as I was studying? He took me back to something that I had totally forgotten about. And it's found what Daniel said in Daniel 7, verses 13 to 14. Incredible. Describing this event. Think of this. It's a messianic passage. And many believe that the disciples probably would have known this. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. His second coming. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall never be destroyed. He's talking about the millennial reign when we reign with him. You know, this is why I love having to teach. Well, I don't have to teach. I enjoy teaching God's word because it forces me to get in the word and study God's word so that when I teach it to you, it better be right on. Amen? I'm going to have to give an account. That's why James said, don't let many of you become teachers, for greater is the accountability. And it keeps me strong, man. That's why I encourage you guys, get in the Word every day. Listen to Christian music. There's this incredible radio station in the high desert. 107.1. It's our station. You got solid biblical teaching. You got solid Christian music on it. It's on my car all the time. I leave it on. I actually, because I got a good antenna on one of my cars, I pick it up all. You know where I lose it going down the hill? I lose it in DeVore. That's how far I get it. This is a 3-mile radio station. And I can drive around up into Apple Valley, Oak Hills, up towards Big Bear. I pick it up all the way to Redwood. It's incredible because God owns the airwaves and he's the one that's sending them where he wants to send them. When we get to heaven, those of us, I mean, we support the ministry here. We support the work. And when we get to heaven, we're going to see people, I know it, that are going to say, I could not go to church. My church was Calvary Chapel, Victor Valley. And it was because that church kept that station going. There's going to be people who've been laying in their beds that can't get out of their beds, and they listen to that station. It's their life stream spiritually. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see what God did, because God is awesome, man. He's awesome what he does. Angels promised Jesus would return to earth in the same way he left. Acts 1, verses 9 and 11. You guys know this well. Now when Jesus had spoken these things, while they watched, the disciples were watching him. He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." He's coming with the clouds. They prophesied it. To believe and understand that this was just moments before Pentecost and the Holy Spirit fell and the church was founded. And to know this was predicted 2,000 years ago, and here we are at the end of the 2,000-year church dispensation, and he's going to be coming. It's awesome, man. You know, I got to tell you, people want to ignore these things. In fact, there are people who even laugh at God's word speaking of the Lord's return. Especially when you consider the church has been saying it for, what, 2,000 years, and he still hasn't come yet? Oh, but Rick, he hasn't come yet. Man, even Paul thought he was coming in his time. Well, you see, the 2,000-year age of the church has been the last days. When Israel came back in the land, when Israel took back control of Jerusalem, two major prophecies, it put the last days into the latter days. We are now in the last of the last days, this generation. Peter dealt with this in 2 Peter 3. He pointed out that God keeps his promises, whether we believe them or not. He pointed out that God measures time differently from the way we measure it. I'll tell you why Jesus hasn't come yet. You want to know why he hasn't come yet? You guys already know where I'm going, right? 2 Peter 3, verses 8 and 9. Peter said, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us." Why is God long-suffering towards us? Here it is. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's why. That's why he hasn't come yet. Hey, I got peoples. I got family and friends and neighbors and people I know and love. I want to see them in heaven, and they're not ready. I want to go. I'm ready to go. I'm just like you, man. Let's go now. But because of them, if we need to wait a while, I'll wait a while, man, because I want them with us for all eternity. I want them with us. That's why I use every opportunity that I can to share with people. Wherever I go, wherever I'm at, I pray, "Lord, you open the door if you want me to share with this person." And you know what? 99% of the time he does. We want the Lord to come and get us. But you know what? The longer he waits, the more opportunity there is for those who are lost to get saved and also be ready like we are, or should be. The Lord wanted them to know these things, but he also exhorted them to be watching. Come back to Luke. Look at verse 29. As we finish up here. "Then Jesus spoke to them a parable. He said, 'Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening,'" are we not witnessing this today, church? "When you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you," now this is Jesus, the second person of the triune God, being God, he is God. "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." You think he meant business? Well, guess what? He put his stamp and his seal on it. Look what he says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. You know what carousing is? Come on, you guys know it. It's noisy drinking parties. Anybody ever been? Don't raise your hands. Anybody ever been to one of those? Carousing. Unless your heart gets weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Guys, I love you, man, but be careful with the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. You know, when you search the scriptures, the first time you read of the fig tree is where? In Judges chapter 9. The fig tree there is clearly speaking of Israel, as well as through the rest of the scriptures. Many interpret this parable to mean the emergence of the state of Israel on May 14th, 1948, as a sign the Lord would soon return. It is significant that Israel is now a free nation after so many centuries of being in political bondage. But Luke also added, and all the trees. Now, what would he mean by that? Well, when he said that in verse 29, it's actually suggesting that more than one nation will be involved in this taking place. I mean, Jesus could have been speaking about the rise of nationalism around the world. We see that in our day. He said this 2,000 years ago, and we are witnessing this today. I mean, we've witnessed the growth of nationalism. We've witnessed the emerging of new nations being a sign that the coming of our Lord is near. But the main thing is knowing what is going on. Knowing what's going on. As the trees begin to bud, it's an indication that summer is near. I mean, you see that. We see that on some of the trees now, right? They're starting to bud and things are starting to grow on them. It's an indication summer is near. So seeing these signs indicates the Lord's return is near. Now, let me just say this. We know God keeps his promises. And we know that God's word never fails. We know this. For one thing, when Joshua was dying, Moses' assistant Joshua, that led the children of Israel in to partition out the land to them, he said in Joshua 23, verse 14, he said, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." What was he saying? He says, "I'm going to die today. I'm going to die today. And you know, in all your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." That means we could stand on God's word. It's our foundation, man. It's our foundation. Some have thought Jesus' return was speaking to the generation of the apostles, that he'd return as the apostles finish their ministry. Some thought that the coming of the Lord was the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2. Or some even believe that it would be when we witness the destruction of Jerusalem that happened in 70 AD. But the signs Jesus mentioned didn't take place before or during those events. And they didn't result in Israel being delivered and the kingdom being established, the millennium. Jesus was referring to the generation that would be alive on earth at the time all these things take place Jesus was speaking of yours and my day, church. He was speaking of our day. Something else we need to understand, he wasn't saying it would take a whole generation for these things to happen. He wasn't saying that. He said that generation would not pass away till everything's fulfilled, but he wasn't saying it's going to take a whole generation. So you got, let's see, it's been 72 years already, coming up in May, May 14th. He wasn't saying you got 75, 80 years and I'm coming. It's not what he was saying. He was saying they will happen very quickly once they begin. I believe we're seeing the beginning of them. You turn on the news, you see what's happening in the nations of the world. You see what's happening in our country. You see right being wrong and wrong being right. You see things going on that are totally not biblical, that we as Christians have to make a stand because we're Christians. We see it happening. They're beginning to happen. When you look at that Greek word in the translation generation, it can also mean race, referring to Israel, the Jewish people. You see, Jesus was assuring his disciples, in spite of the tough things Israel would go through and endure. Right away in our generation, we think of the Holocaust. Millions of Jews were exterminated, gassed. Jesus was saying, in spite of those things, God will protect them and they wouldn't be destroyed. You read from Genesis to Revelation, I'm telling you, three times. I should have wrote the scriptures down. Three times, Satan tried to wipe out the Jewish people. Three times. One was the book of Esther, I know that one. When he tried to totally annihilate them. He's wanting to destroy Israel forever. But he's not going to be able to. The key to all this is to know and to watch. These two things have applied to God's people throughout the church age, especially to you and I this morning. And let me say this. Watch doesn't mean we're to stand around looking for signs. It means be awake, be alert, don't get caught unprepared. Don't get caught unprepared. It carries a warning for us today. I'll agree with you, it's easy to get weighed down with the cares of this life. Man, it's easy. It's easy to get into temptations of the world and the flesh. It's easy to do. During tough times, it is easy to want to just give up and go back to living like you did before you got saved. It's easy to do that. Any fool can do that. Any idiot can do that. In fact, believers in the tribulation period are going to deal with these very temptations, these very same things. They're going to have to watch. They're going to have to pray. They'll have to resist the temptations around them so they'll be ready when Jesus returns at his second coming. Verse 36 refers to standing before the Lord at the judgment when he returns to earth to establish his kingdom. You want more on that? It's Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, a judgment of the nations. The sheep will enter into the kingdom, and the goats, the goats are going to be cast out. Guys, many of God's people are going to die during that tribulation. All these judgments, all these persecutions, like never before and never will be after, are going to take place in that 7-year time period. But there will be some who will escape. There are going to be some who will make it all the way through to see Jesus when he returns in glory. You and I are going to see them. Do you know that? You and I are going to be coming back with our Lord. We've been with the Lord. The reward's been handed out. We've been with him 7 years, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're coming back with him to set up his kingdom at the battle of Armageddon. And we're going to meet and talk to these believers who made it all the way through. How, it's just incredible, man. Today we know that he's coming, but we don't know when. But what should that do for us? Churches should cause us to be faithful. It should cause us to be ready. It should cause us to be prepared. Vance Havner said, I'm not looking for signs. I'm listening for a sound. We're listening for the sound of the trumpet, the shout of the archangel. I want to close with Revelation 22, verses 20 to 21. John said, the Apostle John, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray.